can't say anything. Welcome home. I'm so delighted to see everybody. We are starting our 196th year. And I know that every congregation that has met in homes or in the sanctuary has special memories. But I was thinking yesterday about 20 years ago, last night, how Kate had opened the doors of the sanctuary. It was a Tuesday, and how everybody came, the community, the congregation, everybody, because this place offers such a sanctuary and comfort and a sense of community. And so I'm delighted to see you here today as we start another year. Welcome home. You've probably noticed that we're asking everybody to wear masks, whether you're vaccinated or not, especially if there are young children in the sanctuary. There will be no singing, no hymns. We will have music, though. Thank you, James. And I don't have anything else except that we will have a coffee hour to speak of next door after the service.
You're going to see masks on, masks off, and so on. Good morning. Good morning. Opening words today are from Isabel Allende from Chile. She wrote, "We don't even know how strong we are until we are forced to bring that hidden strength forward. In times of tragedy, of war, of necessity, people do amazing things. The human capacity for survival and renewal is awesome." So welcome again to the service today.
We will be doing the chalice lighting. Please read along with me while Alex lights the chalice. May the light we now kindle inspire us to use our powers to heal and not to harm, to help and not to hinder, to bless and not to serve, to serve you, Spirit of Life. Our unison affirmation and covenant of mission. Also, please read along with me. I know it's difficult with the masks on. Our covenant is to be a loving, joyful community that nurtures spiritual growth, promotes compassion, social responsibility, and service in an atmosphere of mutual trust. Our mission is to be a faith community devoted to love and respect, reason and justice.
I had invited us a couple weeks ago to bring non-perishable food items for the food pantry in Meadville. And so today we will make a start with that. I would like to continue that next week for anyone who wasn't able to bring any today. And some of you do have some items. If you'd like to just bring them up now and put them by the Chewy box or put them beside, that would be great. Thank you, that was wonderful. And let's take a moment just to reflect on the ministry of care that this food will represent for people who otherwise have very little or nothing. So now we're going to try something that we've done before, but not for a very long time. I would like us to take a little bit of time, maybe longer than we were accustomed to in the past, to just welcome each other and say hello. Please keep your masks on. Be mindful about social distancing, but use your judgment about it. Let's take some time and say hello to each other. Thank you, James. Now, was that fun to do? Yes. To see each other again? It's the first time of many in the future, we promise. So here's one of the really beloved rituals in Unitarian Universalist communities around the world, the sharing of joys and sorrows. This morning, because again, things are a bit different, you are welcome to come up, light a candle, and I'll be there to help if needed, of joy or sorrow or both, and then speak into the microphone, and yes, Bill, I'll turn it on. Clearly, don't remove your mask, and it will be fine. Everybody will be able to hear you. So why don't people come up and light a candle of joy or sorrow? And this is another way that we are now together.
Some of you, perhaps many of you, know Chris Chafee and Susan Hagel. Chris had a stroke, actually two strokes, about a month ago while they were in Boston. They're back in Edinburgh, and Corinne and I were with them just the other day, and Chris is doing pretty well. He had lost his ability to talk, but he is regaining that gradually. He's paralyzed on his right side. He is left-handed, so he has use of his dominant hand, and he's doing pretty well. He's in a wheelchair, so he has some mobility, and his spirits seem to be good. I just thought I would let you all know about that if you didn't know. Thank you all.
And before anyone else comes up, I have two candles that I want to share. One is, and this is from Mark McGinney and his wife, family, you may remember them. Well, this was the message he sent me yesterday, because he was going to be here today. Let's see, oh yes. Good afternoon, Aaron has COVID, so we are all quarantined. Please share with the congregation about our new guy, Finn, F-I-N-N. Finn is due on November 10th, so it's going to be another little one. And Cora's birthday is, she's going to be one on November 13th. So great timing. So I wanted to have that candle of joy. And also thank you about the sorrow that you shared. I've talked to also Chris and Susan, and they're, I guess, hanging in there. So anyone else can come up, light a candle?
Did you like, can we move our mask just to speak into the microphone?
No.
No?
Need to speak.
Okay.
Just get really close to it. Perfect, that's good.
Let's see. This summer, Ted had some health issues with kind of recurring things like a UTI, and now he was got very ill, borderline septic with bilateral pneumonia. The end of August, and in the hospital for a week. And thank you for tending to him. So it's been kind of crazy dealing with the repercussions of all the antibiotics and so forth. But now he's home and is restless to get going and moving again. And so I have to keep calming him down. And meanwhile, I'm still dealing with his crazy dizziness with my vestibular neuropathy business going on. And I'm tending to that, but it's just sort of, the older we get, it's dealing with all of that, and it's kind of dizzyfying. And we are aging, and that's another thing that I'm really getting used to. But I'm glad for this church, because it's a stable organization for me, and I'm glad we're back today.
I've been really sick too for 4 months. This is basically one of my first days out of bed in a long time. This getting older stuff really sucks. It's for the birds, but it beats the alternative. What I wanted to share is about my Frodo. He has full-blown dementia, and he's completely blind, and his teeth are falling out, and his heart murmur is louder, but he's perfect. And he now has a thunder vest. And it's like night and day. The vet had recommended it, and he's back to his normal. This is normal. He's been very hyper and anxious, and this, I have him back for now. I don't know how long the vest will last, but if you know me, you know my dog is my life, and I'm in my glory that I have him back right now.
Anyone else? It's important that another candle be lit in the memory of 9/11, the 20th anniversary, which was yesterday. And it's something that seems like a long time ago, but it's had obviously a lot of repercussions in the world, and many people died, and people are still dying because of it. So I light a candle for all of them. And I light one last candle for all the joys and sorrows that are unexpressed aloud here, but remain in our hearts. I just realized it's my turn. See, this is one of the problems of going 18 months without being in person. One problem is I have to try to remember names and faces again, even with masks. And this morning I was going into a panic thinking, okay, where are the orders of service? I found them. Where are the candles? Well, I found some. Jody came over from where she was and was able to get more candles. It's been that kind of day. But sooner or later, I'll figure it all out and actually look reasonably professional. So, Joyce, thanks for leading the service today. And James, great to see you here again. I spent actually quite a bit of time here in the sanctuary over the last 18 months, partly to be here for prayer, sometimes just to clean up a little bit, see how the sanctuary was doing, and I found an order of service. It was, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. Sunday, March 1st, 2020, 10:30. The journey of 1,000 miles. That was the last time we were here. And I remember how that service went. And at the end of it, we knew that there was an illness. We knew that COVID was appearing, but we really didn't know at that time the extent of what would happen next. And we do know what happened next. And of course, it's still happening as we speak. We haven't had a Sunday service here in this, let me start again. Well, I don't believe in the entire history of this congregation from, say, 1836 when this building was built, that we have ever gone 18 months without an in-person service. I seriously doubt that that is the case. And you can imagine how quiet this building was when I'd come in on Sunday or during the day. We didn't know that the pandemic would turn our world and our country and our lives upside down and inside out. And I'd mentioned in that service at the end that hopefully the pandemic would be short and not too many lives lost. We believed and hoped that regular Sunday services would begin again in a few months. Little did we know. So much has changed. Because of COVID and some decisions that were made by people, there have been 660,000 deaths so far in this country as of yesterday, 4.5 million deaths in the world. About 220 million people so far have gotten sick from COVID worldwide, and 41 million of those here in this country. So much has changed. We wear masks, sometimes reluctantly, sometimes fearfully. But at our best, we try to remember our duties and responsibilities to others in our communities, and not just to ourselves alone. As I mentioned earlier, we also acknowledged the 20th anniversary of 9/11 yesterday. And some of the stories online were what would have happened if 9/11 had never occurred. It would have just been another day. Well, of course, we don't know. And we never will know. But I want you to think back for 18 months. What does it feel like? Because COVID did happen. What does it feel like? For me, it feels unreal. Dates, days of the weeks, important events all seem very hazy. They seem like another world or another dream. I notice that I get upset by the smallest little things, like cats, for example. And I get irritated easily. And I know that many other people do, because we're still adjusting to what this new world is becoming. It feels like a dream. But unfortunately, as we know, COVID was not a dream. We awaken, and it's still here among us, and the dream is real. But here's the amazing thing to me. How many of us, sometimes reluctantly, sometimes with curiosity, have adapted to the reality of a pandemic, of a disease that's invisible, that can kill, or maim, or injure. Consider how we have managed to change from the ways we've always done things. I can't speak about church so much, but I can speak about some of our personal lives. We learned how to use video media, and especially Zoom. We were isolated at home, so many home improvement projects got done that otherwise would have been put off. We learned in painful ways that we couldn't be with loved ones when they were ill, or in hospital, or in hospice, or they died. We learned how important people working on minimum pay jobs could be, and how dangerous their jobs were and continue to be. Hopefully, we learned also about how important first responders, medical and support staff, and so many more were there for all of us when needed. Working remotely from home, as some of us were able to do, taught us that dressing up for work wasn't necessary, or if it was necessary, from the belt up. Dressing up for Zoom meetings didn't feel really necessary. We discovered the thrills of cutting our own hair, or alternatively, not cutting our hair at all. We learned that stores began to have delivery services of food and other goods or meals, and we did not have to go out at all. We missed family and friends, so we actually learned to write letters, connect online, and appreciate those people we missed and who we still miss. Many people were lonely and got pet dogs, cats, and other animal companions, and we had to learn to care for them as well. Had COVID not been with us the last 18 months, it's quite possible the presidential election last fall might have turned out differently. Imagine what that would have been like. COVID forced us to change how we understand, and I'm going to use quotes here, church. And that really means any religious community. What is its role or roles in our lives? Is it vital? Is it something we do every Sunday? Or is it something that Well, if the topic of the service is interesting, I'll go. Otherwise, I'm going to do the spiritual practice of sleeping in. And all those are good. But we're still learning about how to do some things different that we have never had to deal with before. We couldn't meet in person, so we did the best we could with remote services. And Amy, who had to leave, and also her colleague, Kirsten Hauser, were the ones who kept our Zoom gatherings going and us learning for the last certainly the last year. Now, as we meet in person, there are still other changes we have to address. Right now, we cannot provide children's religious education simply because we had no idea when we were going to be able to open in person. We need to keep coffee hours simple with continued masking. And might I mention Deb Lehman and Peggy Bill for preparing our coffee and tea today, and also for Peggy, and I understand on very short notice, bringing flowers. So thank you for that. Now, Jody, our office administrator, occasionally gets a little bit anxious if nobody signs up for things. So I promised her, and when I make a promise to Jody, I keep it, that these clipboards will be over at coffee hour. They are simple tasks. Even I can do them. Please sign up. Those are really important. If you need information about, for example, what an usher does, we can tell you. What about a service leader? What about coffee hour hosts? It's pretty simple work, but it's vital to this community. So these will be over there, and I would encourage you to sign up or at least ask how onerous are these tasks. We can't sing together, at least aloud, but our music director, Amy, has helped us find musicians and music to enjoy, James being a perfect example. Our church administrator, Jody, has been a rock of stability these last 18 months. She continues to manage the meetings at the parish house, keep supplies current, and at times this summer ran the sound system for weddings and funerals here. She's simply amazing, and you're very lucky. Bill Fuller is back as sound system coordinator, and thank you, Bill, for being here today. And it's great to see you again after all this time. The Board of Trustees and the Worship Committee has skillfully brought new ways to do church as we are forced out of our comfort zones. And we had a board retreat yesterday, and we met at first here in the sanctuary, and everybody just was happy to be home. And then we went over there and did some other work, but it was a way of reconnecting our continuity. More about that next week. Finally, we hear about the new normal, which has changed our lives since COVID began. That means that the old normal, what we might remember from a long time ago, 18 months and 3 days, is gone. It's never coming back. The new normal will change. It's probably going to be more like new normals. And we're going to have to be adaptive. We have to be creative, we have to be courageous, and we have to have a measure of curiosity about how can we best handle what's coming at us. And it's not just COVID. It's the racial reckoning in this country. It's the climate crisis. It's so much else. It's how we manage our lives. And all those things are things that we need to talk about, but take action on. And this religious community, this church, will change as well. What won't change is a sense of community and mutual caring. What won't change is the dedication of your staff and leadership to you. Spiritual seekers will continue to arrive. They'll be curious and want to know How can I be at home here? Does this have value? Is it welcoming? Their want to deepen awareness and find comfort in this strange new world in which we all live. Veteran members and friends will appreciate coming home here again as you came today, and traditional rituals and a service will once again be comforting. But again, there are changes. You will note that the chalice that you've used for quite some time, which I believe Corinne and Rich had given to the church, well, I was going up the steps this summer from using it, and I tripped, and there went the chalice, except for the top. That meant we had to get a new one. That meant also we had to decide how it was going to look. After a significant discussion and a little bit of angst, we purchased this one, which is very simple, very small, but the size of the chalice doesn't matter. What matters is the flame. Those traditional rituals, like joys and sorrows, will continue, and they're very precious. The journey of 1,000 miles begins beneath our feet, and we need to walk those miles together, or else we will lose our way. That's a topic for next Sunday, because there's been a lot of conversation by your board, the worship committee, and others about how does the future of this congregation unfold as we're in this world of great change so rapidly that it's hard to keep up. So what I'd like to do now is give you another chance to participate. I'd like you to contemplate the question, and you can talk with one another just where you are, if you wish. What have we missed about church in the last 18 months? Now, I asked some people the other day, and they said community, of course. But what else might you have missed about being in religious community in the last 18 months? So I'd invite you either if you want to just sit in quiet and reflect on it, or if you want to chat together, please do. What did you miss in the last 18 months that we were not together in person? So please feel free to take some time to answer that question with each other, or to be quiet. So as you wind down, I'm going to invite you to say in just one or two words what you missed the last 18 months of being in religious community. Just one or two words. What did you miss?
I miss this building. It gives me comfort. And I miss seeing everybody and being close and hugging and just being part of this community.
Singing together.
Singing together, yes.
Singing in the choir.
Singing in the choir. I hear a theme here.
Listening to live music.
Listening to live music. So I'd invite us to continue those conversations, either at coffee hour or in the future, because it's going to be an important ongoing question as we revisit the mission and the connection of this religious community in the larger community, because that's going to be vital in the future. And now we have another ritual, which we have not done for quite a while.
We wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the generous contributions of you, our members. So I'm going to ask now that you consider giving again to this church to keep it going. Our Share the Plate recipient this month is the wonderful Tamarack Wildlife Center. If you remember, we've had a hawk visit us, and this is something very nice to support. So will the ushers please come forward for the offering?
One of our other issues that came up this morning between Joyce and I is, do we go down or not? If we do, what do we do? So I think what we'll do is we will have you come forward, please, and we will, in great gratitude, receive this offering from you for the future. Thank you.
And would you please join me in receiving the offering? I often think we ought to say this first. Okay. We give to remind ourselves how many gifts we have to offer. We give to remember that we are part of something bigger than ourselves. We give because we believe in music and sacred space and children and all who enter this sanctuary. We give with the faith that together we have abundance.
Once again, thank you so much for your generosity today.
Somebody needs to remind me I can't wear hoop earrings and a mask at the same time. We are going to now extinguish the chalice and end the service. The Book of Life is open before us. It tells stories of sadness and happiness, despair and hope, stagnation and change, and a peaceful stillness that transcends both. May you be written in the Book of Life. May you write your own name there, in shining ink stirred together from the tears of the past and the sweet flower essence of the hoped-for future. May you know who you have been and who you are, and bless your future self with loving, brave intention. Lashana Tova. Last Tuesday was the new year. Happy New Year to a very good year. Next week we celebrate the Book of Life and those written in it. May it blessed be.
Thank you, everyone. Please join us over in the parish house for coffee and tea and maybe some refreshments as well, and hopefully some really stimulating conversation. Thank you.